Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. At the box office, the holiday season has already begun with big movies rolling out and more big movies set to open this weekend and through the Christmas holiday. Derek Bang is here. He's an author, freelance journalist, and Peanuts historian who writes regularly about movies. We have popped the popcorn to add a little ambience to the studio. Hi, Derek.
Good morning, Beth. How you doing?
Are you busy going to theaters?
Oh, my goodness. This is where I start to feel like a mushroom in the dark so often.
What is your broad impression of this holiday movie season?
It is varied. We have the popcorn pleasure, speaking of which, with the Jumanji sequel, which is a lot of fun.
Still number one right now at the box office.
And it deserves that. It's very entertaining. It's one of those rare sequels that is pretty much as good as its predecessor. And then we have real dark stuff, such as Dark Waters and Richard Jewell and Bombshell, serious topics, which is typical for this time of year. We get the high-profile Academy Award contenders.
Right. Let's start with Dark Waters. It opened nationwide December 6th. A little synopsis of this movie, and then we'll listen to a clip.
Mark Ruffalo, and just as a passing comment, I would like to nominate him as this generation's Henry Fonda, Jimmy Stewart. Mm. He has that graceful ability to embrace a passionate cause while still feeling like a guy that you could sit in the backyard with and share a beer. His commitment to a role is terrific, and he projects sincerity so well. He plays corporate defense attorney Robert Bilott, who was contacted by a friend of his grandmother's one day, a farmer whose cattle were dying unexpectedly and in unprecedented numbers. Farmer was convinced that it had something to do with the waste dump that DuPont had set up in a neighboring piece of property. Now, the interesting thing about the story is that Bilott was a corporate defense attorney who generally defended companies such as DuPont, but the more he learned about this case, the more he realized that this was something very, very bad. But what he couldn't have realized, because this started in the late 1990s, was that this case would occupy his attention for the next 20 years.
And this is inspired by a true story. Here's a bit from the trailer for Dark Waters.
Almost heaven, West Virginia. Blue Ridge Mountains.
Hi, Grammers.
What are you doing here?
Your grandma tells me her grandson's some fancy environment lawyer down in Cincinnati.
I am a corporate defense attorney.
So?
I defend chemical companies.
Well, now you can defend me.
How many did you lose?
190.
190 cows.
You tell me nothing's wrong here.
It's a small matter for a family friend. Help a guy who needs it.
The farmer or you? That's chemicals, I'm telling you.
I'm seeing documents. I don't understand.
They're hiding something. That
chemical. All right, that's Dark Waters. It's already in theaters. I'm really excited to see this one.
Definitely. And I would call attention to the fact that the script is based on Nathaniel Rich's terrific January 2016 New York Times Magazine article. It's worth reading because it will both amplify what you watched in the film. And frankly, it's a very scary story that took a long time to develop.
All right. The next one we're going to talk about is Knives Out. It opened nationwide on Thanksgiving Day. I think we're not going to say anything about it. Just go into the trailer. And maybe the movie is, I'm going to prepare you here, as weird as this might sound.
I think you have something you want to tell me.
Harlan started out with a Rusty Smith Corona and built himself into one of the best-selling mystery writers of all time.
30 languages, over 80 million copies sold. You guys fans?
I mean, I don't do much fiction reading myself.
Big fan. I'm a big fan.
Who is that guy?
Mr. Blanc is a private investigator of great renown.
I read a tweet about a New Yorker article about you. You're famous.
The night of his demise, the family had gathered to celebrate your father's 85th birthday. And your son, Ransom, did he attend as well?
Yes, but he left early.
I think Linda was upset.
Walt would get a little Irish courage in him. He'd get into it with Harlan.
What? Richard said what?
Are you baiting me, detective?
Attempting to be thorough so we can figure out the matter.
It just goes on and on.
This is a wonderful send-up of Agatha Christie-style drawing room murder mysteries. And it's constructed very much in the model of Gosford Park, which came out a while back, where it's both a fair murder mystery. If you pay very close attention, you can get ahead of what's going on. And at the same time, the characters are so wonderfully exaggerated. We have a multi-million dollar book author who is found dead, a knife lying next to him. And then this wonderful Southern fried Gothic style private investigator played by Daniel James Bond Craig, doing a perfect Southern accent, comes in to investigate this case. And he has this wonderful line at one point where he's talking to the young woman who was the caregiver of the murder victim. And he says to her that he understands that she suffers from, and this is a direct quote, a regurgitative reaction to mistruthing. Which means that if she lies, she vomits.
She vomits.
So she's a two-legged lie detector, which is just a wonderful gimmick that is used throughout the entire story. And it builds to a fantastic climax when all of the suspects are gathered.
It was the number three movie at the box office. So I said Jumanji is number one. Disney wins the number two spot with Frozen 2 right now.
Well, of course.
And then comes Knives Out with Jamie Lee Curtis, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
All kinds of people.
Oh, there are so many different options. I'm talking with Derek Bang. Let's go to one that so many people are anticipating. A production of this poem from T.S. Eliot that we've seen in so many different ways, but this will be a movie unlike any other. Cats opens tomorrow, December 20th. Here's a bit from the trailer.
Tonight is a magical night where I choose the cat that deserves a new life.
Going to the ball could get dangerous.
Come on! Let's dance!
I judge a cat by its soul.
I've got plenty of soul.
Spotlight and a drum roll, please.
Milk!
It's party time.
The most deserving cat will be reborn into another life.
So many deserving cats in this film. This is an A-list of stars, from Taylor Swift to Judi Dench, who we were hearing right there. What a lineup.
Well, and the operative word was the one that she mentioned at the very beginning of that clip, and it's magical. Visually, this film is stunning. In a just slightly less than 2-hour film that is filled with incredible dance sequences, the standout is the one that was done by Skimbleshanks, a tap dance sequence. He's the railway cat.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that dance opens out, starting in the dilapidated theater where all of the Jellicle cats assemble, and all of a sudden, seamlessly, they are dancing on train tracks out in the real world.
Mm.
The employment of special effects and the choreography. And yes, the casting you mentioned is fun, but it's important to bear in mind that they are stunt casting small parts. The real stars are the Royal Ballet performers who handle all of the amazing choreographed routines throughout. It's just so much fun to watch, allowing for the fact that there's really no story. It's a series of bravura.
Yes.
Production numbers strung together. And of course, most people aren't going to mind.
An age-old conversation about cats. Jennifer Hudson, who is one of the cats, was talking about having to go to cat school, as the actors did. They were blindfolded and had to walk around the room smelling and thinking and just sniffing and trying to be in full cat mode.
And it's amazing the degree to which so many of them accomplished that. There were times where I admittedly briefly forgot that I was watching people. they really behave like cats.
Although Judi Dench as a cat?
Well, she's a very old cat.
All right, let's move on to the big Christmas Day opening. Greta Gerwig and her take on Little Women. Let's listen to a bit of the trailer.
I'm working on a novel. It is a story of my life and my sister's.
Make it short and spicy. And if the main character is a girl, make sure she's married by the end.
Ow, Joe!
I want to be an artist in Rome and be the best painter in the world.
That's what you want too, isn't it, Joe, to be a famous writer?
Yes, but it sounds so crass when she says it.
My girls have a way of getting into mischief.
Well, so do I.
This is Meg, Amy, Beth, and Joe.
I intend to make my own way in the world.
No one makes their own way, least of all a woman. You'll need to marry well.
You are not married, Aunt.
Well, that's because I'm rich.
Did you get the voice there? That was Meryl Streep.
Of course. Isn't Meryl Streep in every other movie these days?
I know. Based on the classic book, I'm so excited for this film. But, of course, in this region, we're especially excited because hometown girl Greta Gerwig is the director.
Well, and the scripter.
And the scripter, and which is important.
She did a masterful job of not only adapting the novel, but, and this is very key with books that were written so long ago, there is a danger involved in bringing too much contemporary stuff into a fresh adaptation. And what I admire so much about Gerwig's handling of the material is the way she's both faithful to Louisa May Alcott, yet at the same time, she very sneakily works in enough contemporary feminist attitude that it doesn't feel wrong. It feels as progressive as we suspect Alcott herself probably was back in the day.
This was a powerful book when I was young. My mom asked us to call her Marmy for more than a year.
Really?
Because of this story. And she had named each of us, I mean, Beth.
Yeah. Okay.
My sister Michelle was named for Meg. Anne was named for Amy. It is really an important story. Greta Gerwig, you have some long ago friendship time with Greta.
She is my one best attachment to rising Hollywood royalty, and this is very exciting. Back in 2000, I was music director and pianist for a Woodland Opera House production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And Greta, who was 16 at the time, was cast as Patty. Mm. She was by far the youngest cast member. She was also by far the most professional, even at 16. Sometimes you can tell. It was such a joy to work with her at that point in time. And she was always very self-conscious because that play came out at a point in time when Patty, one of the original characters, was on her way out of the strip. She was very soon to be eclipsed by Peppermint Patty, who's an entirely different character. Mm-hmm. And we brought that show on the road, so to speak, to a Peanuts convention that took place that summer in Santa Rosa. And there was a buyer's market that occupied most of the Saturday prior to the performance. And she was very upset because she spent the whole day trying to find anything that had Patty on it and having absolutely no luck.
Oh.
And she was tickled to death before the performance that evening when I brought her a little pin of Patty that I had found that day. And I've wondered if she kept it.
Well, you mentioned that she did the script writing on the adaptation of Little Women. If you want a great laugh, go back to her guest appearance on David Letterman from 2013. She's talking about having written Frances Ha and starring in it as her first movie. It's a hilarious segment. It is worth going back to look to. David Letterman from 2013 with Greta Gerwig.
Outstanding. So I'll do that.
We wish her all the best. All right. We just have a little bit of time left. Can we talk about Richard Jewell as a movie?
Sure.
I happened to be covering the Olympics. I was in the hotel next to it and that night. I was right up over the park, woken up by the bombing and the emergency vehicles. So I'm one of these people that is so much anticipating this movie, but I'm hearing the, oh, but one thing they did with the character.
Oh, my God. This is so disappointing. As good as the film is, and we should probably explain real quickly that it is about the title character, Richard Jewell, who was the security guard who found the backpack containing the bomb.
In Centennial Park in
Atlanta. In Centennial Park, and alerted people, security, police forces, to move folks back, and was absolutely undeniably responsible for far fewer people being hurt and or killed than would have been. So he was a hero for 3 days, and then after 3 days, a sad combination of events led him to be
the
prime suspect. And he spent the next 88 days basically barricaded in the apartment that he shared with his mother while the media tried and convicted him. And, of course, it turned out that he was, in fact, innocent. He was, in fact, a hero. Years later, somebody else confessed to having been the bomber. Clint Eastwood's approach to the film is very matter-of-fact. The performances by Paul Walter Hauser and Kathy Bates as Richard and his mother are just amazing. I mean, the degree of intimacy that they achieve in some of their saddest moments is so painful that as a viewer you feel like a voyeur. But a sidebar character played by Olivia Wilde, who plays a real reporter, Kathy Scruggs, who worked for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who was one of the prime forces in driving the impression that Jewell was a suspect, is a cartoon in this movie. She's a rapacious, vindictive, nasty slut, to be blunt. And it is completely unfair, and it unbalances the movie. And it is also ironic that a film which at its very core is about character assassination is in fact itself guilty of character assassination. And since Kathy died in 2001, she's not around to defend herself.
Her editor has spoken out about it, too, and felt that the depiction was all of the words that you said.
Oh, it's unforgivable, even in a dramatic sense.
So that is Richard Jewell. We have about 30 seconds left. Bombshell and Star Wars are going to open on Friday. They haven't screened here in Sacramento. I know you haven't seen them. But what about the Baby Yoda marketing plan? The decision to hold back on all those plushy stuffies this Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. So is that a cart before the horse situation or what? Are we driving up anticipation and excitement? Oh, I think so.
Are you going to end up having a Baby Yoda on your shelf someday?
Absolutely not. I draw the line. The only thing on my shelf are about 75 Snoopy plush dolls.
All right. Well, we're going to have another conversation about movies on Netflix and Amazon Prime and all the streaming. But one final note about them and their eligibility for the Academy Awards when made-for-TV movies aren't. Is there something wrong there?
Well, it's a long conversation. My understanding at this point is that the basic rule still holds firm. If a film wishes to be considered for Oscars, it has to play at a theater somewhere for at least, I think, 2 weeks. Generally, that's one theater in New York and one theater in Los Angeles. And traditionally, they would then open in 3,000 theaters in January or February. These days, the tradition is they go to Netflix or Amazon Prime. What that's doing to Hollywood, I don't think we know yet.
All right, that's the conversation in 2020, okay?
Looking forward to it.
Happy holidays, happy movies. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Beth. It's always a pleasure to be had.
That is Derek Bang, author and freelance journalist. You can find more about the movies and links to the trailers so you can see them and hear them at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. Dennis Newhall is standing by.